Labor leader Judith Cada addressed Nova Scotia nurses earlier today in Halifax. And Judith joins me on the phone. How are you today? Hello, Judith. How are you?
I'm well.
Excellent. It sounds like you're on a speakerphone. Is that true?
Sorry?
I said, are you on a speakerphone or something?
We're just trying to sort it out.
We got a pretty bad connection there. Can you pick the phone up? Okay. I think we've lost Judith. Judith, are you there?
Is that better?
That's 1,000 times better. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. So give us a bit of your background. Where are you from?
I'm the Assistant Secretary of the New South Wales Nurses and Midwives Association, and we've got about 60,000 nurse members, and we operate out of Sydney, New South Wales, Australia.
All right, so you were asked to address Nova Scotia nurses today, and what were some of the key points that you passed along?
Basically, I was invited here to speak to nurses working in Halifax about our experience in successfully campaigning for mandated nurse-to-patient ratios in our New South Wales healthcare settings, public health settings. And the stories I'm hearing from nurses, I said to the members here today that I actually felt I was in rewind, because the same stories that I heard back in Australia that were the genesis of our campaign for mandated staffing levels are the stories I heard here today. And it's about patient safety. Quite frankly, the way health services are run worldwide, they're just trying to get more done with either the same resources or less. And quite frankly, that is having a negative impact on the ability to provide safe patient care. And so the people that are listening to your program need to be very aware that we need to have appropriate numbers of nurses with the right skills looking after them according to their need when they're admitted to hospital. And I guess in my state, we were successful. It was a hard-fought campaign, but what we ended up with was mandated nurse-to-patient ratios in many of our hospitals. We didn't get everything we asked for, so we're still campaigning for that. But what we did get was a really good foundation, and what it's shown both the nurses working on those units and the public, their relatives that visit their people in hospital, is that there's an ability now for nurses to be able to spend time with the patients, not just covering off those absolutely essential things that have to be done to, you know, reverse their ill health, but actually spend time with them, educating the patient about that illness and how to help themselves so they don't get readmitted to hospital. We've seen over time the length of stay of patients in hospitals has reduced, but sometimes that's been they bounce back, for want of a better word, and they're readmitted. And so we know that we're probably not looking after them as well as we could, but mandated staffing will certainly make inroads into that.
When you talk about ratios, can you apply apples and apples here with what's done in Australia, how it's done here? What about emerging technology and those types of things? Does that change the discussion in any way?
You know, sometimes people use that emerging technology as a indicator that they may be able to reduce stuff, but in actual fact, our members at home tell me that that's actually an added stress for them because they've got to learn how to use the equipment and all that sort of thing. But when you say apples and oranges, well, the stories I heard here today are the exact same stories that I was hearing from my own members before we mounted our campaign. But the ratio that we propose is suited to the area. So you don't have the same mandated staffing in an emergency department as you would on a unit or an ICU. They're all calculated out to reflect the requirements of the unit. So, but having said that, an ICU in Halifax actually compares very easily with an ICU in Sydney. You know, the work that's being done here medically reflects pretty much what's happening at home. So in that case, you are comparing apples with apples.
What about perhaps utilizing LPNs or other layers below? When I say below, I'm talking about educationally or the nurse. Is there a place for that?
Look, absolutely. Our ratios in New South Wales cater for a registered nurse, and we have an LPN equivalent called an enrolled nurse. And we also have, although we don't have many of them, but we do have some unlicensed workers working in our public hospital system. And the ratios do cater for all of that. In for instance, on a ward that's got 30 beds, you might have a 1 to 4 in the afternoon, one nurse to four patients. But because of the way it works out, there's extra hours that can be used, and a floater might be an LPN, but you might have three RNs and one LPN. It's about, and in our language at home, we have left all the clinical judgments to be made about what level of staff that you need to make up that ratio. We have left that responsibility to the clinical expert on the unit. So if the nursing unit manager thinks she needs two RNs and two LPNs, that's fine. If she thinks she needs, or he needs, four RNs to do the work that is required on that unit, then that nursing unit manager has the capacity to make that judgment. It's not so concrete that it can't be, you know, finessed to fit the ward situation.
Are there others outside of the umbrella of the union, unionized nursing, that are suggesting these same things? Because people might interpret this as turf protection in some way, this type of policy. So is somebody else echoing this beyond the unionized nurses?
Well, I don't know the answer to that question, but what I do know is that as union members, they come to us with their stories. We have the research, the academically backed research, that suggests that the introduction of this type of mandated staffing absolutely has a positive impact on patient outcomes. And for governments that say that they can't afford it, because yes, there is an upfront cost to implement extra positions, that is outweighed by the savings that they make on the stories I'm hearing about the overtime that nurses are working. Nurses are human beings, and they actually are being asked to be working like machines, and quite frankly, I don't know how they do it. And I think that the people of this province should be paying real attention to this argument, because it's them that is getting the care, or needing to get the care, when they go into the health facilities. Certainly for me, if I go into a healthcare facility, I want to know I've got a nurse looking after me who's not tired and maybe, you know, prone to making a mistake. You know, we don't know whether these mistakes are being measured. Like, there's all sorts of things. But the research that has already been done absolutely tells us, hands down, that the more, particularly RN hours, but nursing hours overall, that you have on any unit will give your patients a much better chance at a better outcome, and in some cases, actually staying alive. There's also some statistics to suggest, and it's the first time I've actually come across this, that overtime, nurses working inordinate amounts of overtime, actually contributes to the readmission of a discharged patient. So, you know, if we've got academics out there who have published this research, I think that nursing union leadership and governments have an absolute responsibility to make sure that the people of the, you know, your, my state, your province, that we are overseeing the care of, we have a responsibility to make sure it's the proper and right care.
Judith, I appreciate your time and enjoy your stay in the region. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. That is International Labor Leader Judith Ikeda, who addressed Nova Scotia nurses in the Halifax area.